And I know there are people here with passion. If you believe that you have passion, I want you to make as much noise to God as possible. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 7. I don't know if we have it on the overhead. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 38. And then John chapter 2, verse 17. Then one of the Pharisees in Luke 7:36 to 38, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box, a flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. And then John chapter 2, 17, then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So you might have, I don't know if my title, do you have my title? Passion has eaten me up. You would have got that idea when I got you to stand up and make some noise. I was at a wedding recently. I've been at a few weddings, but I was at a wedding recently. At a wedding. And I was moved when a particular song came on and I saw people rushing to the dance floor, young, old, no one cared. People were just moving and shaking and singing, even though they could not sing. I saw some people dancing, even though they could not dance. No one was embarrassed. You were at that wedding, Pastor Tolu, weren't you? I'm not talking about you. I did not see Pastor Tolu rushing to the dance floor. I didn't. No one was embarrassed. No one looked on. Nobody, no one really cared. But these people had passion. They were going ballistic. I mean, I've been to some weddings, and especially the African weddings. I tell you the moves. I'm thinking the passion. And then when I began to look at this, you know, the Lord began to speak to me as I was looking on and I was watching these people, and God began to speak to me, and He was saying, you know, this is the type of passion that I need from my people. Passion. Jesus was passionate for the house of God. He was passionate for the place of worship, as we have just read. The Jews had turned the temple into a marketplace, the outer courts, into a marketplace. And here Jesus said he was fuming. He went as far as to make a whip, and he began to beat these money changers and chase them out of the house of God. And as he began to do that, the disciples looked on and they remembered that it was written that the zeal for your house has eaten me up. To be eaten up with the gold. You can be eaten up with the gold. You can be eaten up with football. You can be eaten up with life. You can be eaten up with your husband or your wife. It's when you want something so badly that it consumes you. I want to be eaten up with the Lord. I don't know if there's anybody else that wants to be eaten up with the Lord, want to be consumed with the Lord, to have this passion for Him. Zeal means passion or enthusiasm. To be zealous, which is related to jealousy. And in this sense, it means that you are willing to protect what belongs to you at all cost. And this was Jesus in this situation. And He says, I'm protecting the house of the Lord. He was passionate for the house of the Lord. Passion energizes. It gives you direction. It gives you focus. It will drive you. Passion will drive you when you have no petrol in the tank. It will get you from A to B, even though your tank is empty, if you have passion. Even when you are in the red, passion will keep you going. Romans 12:11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You've heard me speak about purpose here before. And the fact is, we all have purpose. But you will never fulfill your purpose without passion. They work together. You will need zeal. You will need fervency. You will need enthusiasm. Purpose has to do with your head. Thinking right about why you are here and understanding your calling. But passion has to do with your heart. The internal fire that motivates you and energizes you to fulfill your purpose and to do God's will. God is the source of spiritual passion. The Holy Spirit comes and He ignites us with holy fire. I don't know if anyone wants any of that fire, but I want that fire every day. John said, He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. If you cannot figure out your purpose in life, then figure out your passion. Because your passion will lead you right into your purpose. Passion is like fire. It is not something that is static. Passion does not stay still. It moves. It motivates. A fire will either spread or it will burn out. And if it's left without being attended to, it tends to go out. But passion works very much in the same way. You have to work it. You have to stroke it. You have to build it up. You have to stir it. And this is how the Paul the Apostle instructs Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. He says, I am reminded, as he speaks to Timothy, he says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded it now lives in you also. And for this reason, I remind you to fan the flame, Paul says. Fan the gift, flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but He gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God knows the moment you lose your passion, the moment you lose your zeal, is the moment you lose your vision and your perspective. You see, the fire on the inside affects everything on the outside. Some of us need to begin to burn again. Nothing major in history was ever accomplished without zeal, without passion. It is that this deciding factor or difference between a person who is successful and a person who is not. I want to ask us today, have we lost our passion for Christ? I want to ask yourself, have I lost my passion for Christ? To have passion is to have an intense love for someone or something. Very much like Antonia and Yannick. I saw the way they looked into each other's eyes, and I could see the fire that was burning within them. Passion. You've got it, right? Yes. Amen. You see, a passion covers a broad spectrum of feelings that are appropriate to loving God. You can have a deep loving longing, a holy zeal, an affection, or a hunger for the Lord. David expressed his passion in Psalm 42, verses 1 to 2. He writes, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. You know the song, right? As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. It is my belief that there exists in our world a profound hunger for a deep intimacy with God. According to the scripture and the Lord himself, the greatest commandment is this, that you shall love the, that's the greatest commandment, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. And the key word here is all. Love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. For me, that is passion. And the verse goes on, it says, and you've got to love your neighbor as yourself. That is passion too. Many Christians can quote the passages. We can quote the passages. We can say all the right words. We can do all the right things and go to all the right places. But still, vital things are missing on the inside. And if we were to ask ourselves as believers today, what is missing? And perhaps that thing that is missing in our lives is passion. Passion. Passion for God. Where is the genuine adoration and love for God that once burned within us? Do you really love him with all your heart? Do you love him with all your soul? With all your mind? Or is it something that you do half-heartedly? We have passion for our friends. We have passion for our music. We have passion for our animals, computer games, social media, our jobs, and other realities of life. We have passion for them. But where is our passion for God, I ask you? And my prayer is that this fellowship will have a burning passion for God. Because I tell you something, when you have this passion burning inside of you, people are drawn to you very much like fire. When fire is ablaze, it draws things. And I believe that God is saying that he needs his church in this end time to be a passionate church full of the Spirit of God, burning for him. Remember when you first got saved? Do you remember that? The zeal that penetrated every fiber of your being. You could not keep quiet about your salvation experience. You had to share your faith with everybody you met. Do you remember that? Your family looked at you and they thought that you were crazy. Well, that's the passion that was burning inside of you. And I ask you, and I ask myself, where is the passion for God that we once had? I believe this is what God is asking the church. Passion for you. You bubbled over with joy unspeakable, full of glory. You danced before the Lord in perfect liberty, and nothing could stop you because of the fiery passion that burned inside of you. God wants you. God wants us to have that passion again for Him. He wants us to burn for Him again. Perhaps your flame is going out. Perhaps you're just existing this Christian life. You're just existing. No power. But I believe God wants the church, especially in these end times, to be a blaze. That's where the power is. There is power in your passion. Where is that enthusiasm? Where is that joy? Where is the zeal that burns so brightly in your life? Why is it that Bible reading has no effect anymore upon you? And some of us don't even read the Word of God. Come on, let's be true to ourselves. Where is the prayer? Getting on our knees. This is the reality. Where is it? This is what God is looking for. To get into His Word. To get on our knees. To be passionate for Him. Why would we spend all our evenings watching Coronation Street rather than being in the presence of God? I believe many of us pray. Many of us read the Word of God. Many of us go to church services. Yes, we do. But we serve Jesus out of obligation rather than passion. Would anybody agree with me? I'm sorry this is hard for some of us to take in, but I believe this is what the Spirit of God is saying, because God, I believe, wants us to have a look at ourselves and ask ourselves that question, where is the passion? Where is the passion? Where is the fire that once burned inside of me? Where is it? See, God wants us to worship out of love for Him. He wants us to worship out of love, in spirit and in truth. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 29:13, this is God saying, oh, when I read this, it pained me when I read this, because I'm saying, God, are we like this? He says, these people, they come near to me with their mouth. They say nice things, but everything that they're saying is empty. God says, and they honor me with their lips. Our lips can say so many nice things, especially when we are together, when nobody is looking. They honor me with their lips. But then God says, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is based on merely human rules They have been taught. I don't want this for this fellowship. I don't want this for us as believers. But I pray that we will be people who are passionate for God, who are on fire for God, and that flame that is burning inside of us is still alive today. You see, a passion does not operate out of obligation. We're not coming here on a Sunday, leaving our nice homes, because it's a religious act. It's an obligation. But passion operates out of agape love. Agape love is the highest form of love, the love of God for man and man for God. It is unconditional. Does anybody love him passionately? It transcends and persists regardless of the circumstances you find yourself in. And I know, especially when some of us are going through difficulties and times are hard, it's difficult for some of us to love God, but we have to love him despite the circumstances. Some people will only love because they are first loved. Some people only love you because you give things to them or you say nice things to them. But agape love goes beyond what we have done or what we have said or what we have been given. Here is agape love. Here is passion. Here is passion found in Ephesians 5:28. Christ loved the church. And I want to put on the end of that so much. That he gave himself up for her. Why? That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot, not having wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That is passion. That is why Jesus died. Passion loves and it serves because it wants to, not because it has to. Passion is serving God because there is nothing else that we would rather do. I think I'm hitting some points here with some of us. I believe God wants us to look at ourselves today and ask ourselves some serious questions. I feel that in my spirit. I feel that in my spirit. This is a challenge to the church. We don't like being challenged, but I hear the word of God saying, where is the passion that my people have for me? You see, there is no passion without relationship. You can't love a person that you do not know. And knowing Jesus is essential to having a passionate relationship with him. How can you love him if you do not know him, if you do not fellowship with him? If you're not on your knees in prayer, if you're not in the word, it means you do not know him. You do not have a relationship with him. So there is no passion. But when you can love the Lord Jesus, there is passion there. The fire of the Holy Spirit burns inside you. And this is the kind of church that God is looking for. Passion is something that has to be cultivated and guarded. Protect your passion. Protect it. Guard the flame within you. This zeal of God is a consuming fire within you. You need to guard it ferociously, realizing that it is the enemy's target. He will try to put your flame out. That's his mission. And that's why you have to guard it. The enemy will do anything in his power to discourage you from falling totally in love with Jesus. He will tell you, you are too vocal about your faith. Has anybody ever had that? And if he doesn't tell you directly, then he will use somebody to tell you. Now, I'm speaking from experience. He will tell you that you need to calm down and don't make such a spectacle of yourself. Has anybody ever been there? The devil is a liar. He's a deceiver. And he's a thief. He doesn't want any of you to enjoy your life in Christ. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The enemy wants to take that from you. When you have passion, that's when you truly begin to enjoy the Lord. The enemy will do everything in his power to distract you from achieving and performing your eternal purpose on this earth. We read in Luke chapter 10 how Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus, this family whom Jesus loved, Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead. And the Bible says that Jesus loved them. He loved this family. He did that passionately. This Mary, Jesus had cast 7 demons out of. She had passion for Jesus. And every time Jesus was present, all she wanted to do was sit at his feet and worship him. Now this is what it says in Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her, Lord, to help me. Martha, Martha, Jesus said, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha welcomed Jesus in, and many of us have done that. But then she gets caught up. She gets distracted with service rather than worship. Do you know we can spend so much time serving the church that we don't serve God? We can spend so much time doing kingdom work that we lose our worship for God. We can spend so much time on the streets evangelizing, but God truly wants your heart and he wants true worship. He would prefer that. All Mary had was passion for Jesus, passion for worship, spending time at his feet, listening to his words, disregarding the mundane, giving all she had. She gave her wealth. The Bible says that she poured out her expensive perfume upon him, upon his feet even. It in his feet. She abandoned all self. She gave her all. And this is what God is looking for, where we can abandon everything and we can give our all. Give our all. The time for playing church, the time for just doing work is over. But God is looking for people that will worship Him passionately, in spirit and in truth. These are who the Father is looking for. This woman, she did not come to receive a blessing. And many of us come to Jesus because we want a blessing from Him. If we're honest with ourselves, I even want a blessing. I want to be blessed every day. But people are going to Jesus because they want a blessing. Even this Wednesday, a guy came into the church. He just wanted to be blessed. He just wanted all his needs to be met. I said to him, "Do you believe in Jesus?" And it took him a long time to get round to the point. "Yes, I do." He came only to receive. But here, this woman, she went and she gave everything that she had. She went knowing that she would probably be ridiculed by the Pharisees and others who were present. Yet she took the risk and she poured out her all upon Jesus. And she did that passionately. Passion does not focus on what others think or say. Passion is willing to take a risk, no matter what it costs. Passion for Jesus flows from a heart that is consumed with love for Him. And that love must find a way to be released in His presence. When you're in love with somebody, that love will consume you. I don't know if there's anybody in love. Do you remember the time when you were in love? It seems a long time ago. Do you remember it? Trifinger now, do you remember that? Definitely. You're still in love? Amen. You know when that love consumes you, you forget sometimes because you're so much in love, your words get mixed up and... No? Things that are important to you get left behind because you're so much in love. You're consumed with love. You might even go as far as to give your life for that person because you love them passionately. Some of us need to fall in love again. When you're truly in love with the Lord, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with everything, you will be consumed with Him and His holy presence. Nothing else will satisfy. Nothing else matters. When you really love the Lord and have a true understanding of all that He did for you at Calvary, giving His life, all you want to do is sit at His feet and pour out your heart in worship upon Him. You want to shed tears of adoration. When was the last time that you cried before the Lord? Don't allow yourself to fall into a place of numbness and complacency. In the realm of the spirit, don't allow your love for Jesus to grow cold. Don't allow the flame that once burned so brightly on the inside of you to be darkened by the cares of this world and the lust of the flesh. Pray for the Lord to pour out His spirit upon you. once again and ask him to give you passion for Jesus. Please stand to your feet. Can I have the keyboard player, please? For some of you, this might be a little bit uncomfortable, but I'm asking you to examine yourself today and how much passion have you got for Jesus? Do you truly love him with your all, with your mind, with your soul, with your body, with your heart? Do you truly love him? Or all you're doing is giving a half-hearted response to his love to you? How do we ignite this passion? How do we keep it burning? How do we get it back? I'm reminded of Paul as he speaks to Timothy. He says, let me lay hands on you and fan the flame of the Holy Spirit in you once again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, God. Bless your name, Jesus. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to be bold and ask you, if you feel in your life that fire has gone out, let's be real with ourselves. That fire has gone out in your life, and the flame that burned, perhaps for some of you, it never did burn. For some of you, you might be trying to get it started. Perhaps there is just a small flame in there. Well, God wants to fan it into a ferocious fire. He wants you to burn passionately for him. You know what? I don't believe that it's worth even just existing as dead people, but God wants us to be on fire for him. Burn for him. What's the point in just existing? God wants his church, his body, to be on fire. If you feel in this place today that you're just existing, living from day to day, that is no good. I'm telling you, God wants you to burn and to be on fire, full of the Holy Spirit. Maybe there is somebody in here. Your fire has gone out. Your flame has gone out. And God, by his Spirit, is saying, I see you, I see you. And I just want to fan that flame in you again. I just want you to just raise your hands. If that is you. Yes, yes. I know there's more people. Look, don't worry about what people think, about what people might say. If that is you in this place, as God sees you and he knows, because you go into the closet and you say, God, I need something. I need something more. God sees you, and today he wants to fan that flame and set you alight again. Just raise your hands, those people, just those people who feel that way. This is just, as every head is bowed, this is just between you and God. Nobody else. Lord Jesus, as the hands are raised in this place, God, Holy Spirit, cause that fire to burn again. May these people, God, who have their hands raised, be set alight again with the power of your Spirit. So when they go from place to place, Lord, when they move from place to place, even people will be drawn to them because of the fire that is burning in them. You want your body, God, to be on fire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I receive your fire. Hallelujah. Just as your head is bowed, I'm just wondering, in this atmosphere, if there is somebody, as every head is bowed, there's somebody who wants to know Jesus. You've heard of him. You've heard of him. But at this moment, you're not in the kingdom. You're looking at people that are replaced. And you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to come in that kingdom. I want to receive that fire that Pastor Brian is talking about. Because right now, Lord, even if I was to die, I would go to hell. Maybe you're in this place. You've heard of Jesus, but you don't know him. I just want you to just raise your hands. I just want to pray for you. If you're that person or those people, just raise your hands. I just want to pray for you and invite you into the kingdom of God. Anybody wants to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior? Father, I thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit in this place. Thank you, Lord, because you have spoken to us very, very clearly. Lord, may the passion return. May we burn again. May your body be on fire. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I've been blessed by that passion for God, zeal for the things of God. We're zealous for earthly things, aren't we? We crave worldly things. Why can't we be passionate for the things of God? I pray that God will help us that we'll be passionate for the things of God. Amen. We're going to bring our tithes and offerings down to the Lord. Please worship sing. Please do come up and help us. And as we always say, please write very clearly, especially if you are paying by card. It's amazing how many problems we have with card payments. Please, if you are paying by card, write very clearly. And also importantly, ensure that there are funds in your accounts. You know, we get so many rejects as well. So please be encouraged to do that if you are paying by card. But thank you for your giving and God bless.
Amen. Gosh, you know, Pastor just talked about passion. How many of y'all are willing to chase after God? Chase after God with your whole life, with your whole heart, you know? The Bible says that whoever is going to embark on a mission, you have to count the cost. This is not something you just wake up one day and think, oh, maybe tomorrow I'll be a Christian, or next week I'll watch Coronation Street all evening. I don't think Pastor is telling us not to watch Coronation Street. It's just, but we need to be passionate about God. All right, if you don't need to sit down, if you're not writing anything, please feel free to get up on your feet and join us. So we're just going to do the song that says, I'm chasing after you no matter what I have to do, because I need you more and more. I'm chasing after you no matter what I have to do, because I need you more and more. I'm chasing after you no matter what I have to do, because I need you more and more.
Let's take it from the top, from the top. Come on, I'm chasing.
I'm chasing after you
no
matter what I have to do, because
There's a book called God Chaser. Some of you might have heard of it, by an author called Tommy Tenney. I recommend it if you haven't read it. It's called God Chasers. And then he talks about, you know, chasing after.